This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are your closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 361 and three quarters, up a quarter. December corn, 371 and a half, up a half. March corn, 383 and a half, up a half. August soybeans, 1220 and a half, down 6. September soybeans, 1102 and a quarter, down 19 and a quarter. November soybeans, 1081 and a quarter, down 13 and three quarters. September wheat, 527 and a quarter, up 7 and a quarter. December wheat, 549 and a half, up 5 and three quarters. March wheat, 572 and three quarters, up 4 and a half. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's grain market report. First of all, the Illinois country grain prices, they ended mixed on Wednesday afternoon. With a chance of rain, soybeans sought lower levels. Without fresh news, corn stayed at existing values, and wheat posted gains on technical trading at the Board of Trade. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mixed at $3.50 to $3.69. Soybean bids down 11 to 17 cents at $12.20 to $12.61. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to a penny higher at $3.47 to $3.70, while soybeans were down 6 to 13 cents at $12.31 to $12.90. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly steady at $3.58 to $3.77. Soybean bids down 6 to 12 cents at $12.23 to $12.71, while wheat bids were up 7 cents at $4.47 to $4.87. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids 26 to 36 cents lower on Wednesday, range from 12.61 to 13.01. Basis 20 to 30 cents lower, range from 40 to 80 over the August. Hypro soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of 427.60 to 442.60, which was down 9.80 to 12.80 per ton, with basis down $2 to $5 per ton, range from 40 to 55 over the August. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids ended steady at 369 to 392, with basis also steady on Wednesday, ranging from 70 to 30 over September. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids down 1 to 6 cents at 370 to 372, basis also 1 to 6 cents lower, range from 8 to 10 over September. Soybeans ended 4 to 19 cents lower on Wednesday, ranging from 1233 to 1245. Basis ended mixed, range from 12 to 24 over the August. Wheat prices 7 to 10 cents stronger on Wednesday, ranging from 475 to 486, with basis steady to 3 cents higher at 41 to 52 under September. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids steady to a penny better at $3.98 to $4. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 6 cents with quotations at $12.63 to $12.66. Soft red Arena wheat 2 to 7 cents higher at $4.76 to $5 even, and the Milo ended a penny higher at $3.97 to $4.22. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers for new crop corn range from $3.34 up to $3.46. New crop soybean bids $10.44 to $10.65. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $3.32 to $3.45. New crop soybean bids $10.49 to $10.77. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from $3.32 to $3.54, with new crop soybean bids $10.51 to $10.76. That completes our grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, $159.85, up $1.07. October live cattle, $159.92, up 85 cents. December live cattle, $159.92, up 77 cents. August feeder cattle, $223.02, up $1.60. September feeder cattle, $224.20, up $1.75. October feeder cattle, $224.02, up $1.90. August lean hogs, $119.15, down $2.30. October lean hogs, $103.70, down $2.37. December lean hogs, $94.45, down $2.15. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday, the 30th afternoon, a livestock report. And starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.90 lower on Wednesday with a range of $116 to $123 with a weighted average carcass price of $120. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report on Wednesday, slaughter sows traded steady with moderate demand for moderate to light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at 81 up to 89, 4 to 5 weights at 84 to 93, 5 to 6 weight sows sold at 87 to 94, and heavyweight sows over 600 pounds range from 89 up to 97. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade on Wednesday, barrels and gilts at the country buying points traded $1 to $3 lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings range from $82 up to $87. And receipts for Illinois hogs on Wednesday totaled 18,676. The opening report from the Greenville Livestock Auction in Greenville, Illinois on Wednesday, early receipts totaled 645 head. And compared to last week, steers and heifers traded $4 to $5 higher in the early trading. Choice slaughter steers sold at 160 up to 170, and the choice slaughter heifers sold at 160 up to 163. Also, a recap of the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville on Tuesday. Receipts totaled 477 head, and compared to last week, the slaughter steers and heifers traded $6 to $7 higher. The slaughter Holstein steers were $9 to $10 higher. Choice slaughter steers sold at $157 up to $169.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers $150 and a quarter up to $158.75, and the choice slaughter heifers sold at $158 to $168.75. Also, a recap of the Fairview Sale Barn Auction at Fairview, Illinois on Tuesday. Receipts totaled 269 head. Compared to last week, the slaughter steers and heifers sold $5 to $8 higher. Choice slaughter steers sold at $160.25 to $168.25, with the choice slaughter heifers selling at $160.50 up to $167. In the direct cattle trade on Wednesday from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a dress basis traded in a range of 250 up to 262, and heifers on a dress basis traded at 246. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts established with 378 loads trading on Wednesday. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $130.23, which was 90 cents lower for the day. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report on Wednesday, values for choice and select beef carcasses trading higher. Choice carcasses closed the day at $262.86, which was $1.52 higher, while select carcasses gained $1.80, closing at $260.83. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter estimated on Wednesday at 113,000 head, compared to 114,000 last week and 123,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter on Wednesday estimated at 406,000 head, that compared to 395,000 last week and 410,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. July corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.56. September corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.46. July corn delivered to Scottville, $3.47. September corn delivered to Scottville, $3.46. July beans delivered to Greenfield, $12.34. October beans delivered to Greenfield, $10.70. July beans delivered to Scottville, $12.23. October beans delivered to Scottville, $10.70. July wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.64. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $3.56, corn at Scottville is $3.47, beans at Greenfield are $12.34, beans at Scottville are $12.23, and wheat at Scottville is $4.64. In light of water quality issues farmers are currently facing, Illinois is releasing the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy. Yesterday at the Illinois Farm Bureau Commodities Conference, I spoke with Laura Lurkins, Director of Natural and Environmental Resources, about what this plan means for farmers in Illinois.
It is a document that is soon to be released by Illinois EPA and the Department of Ag. And what it is, it was really put together over the past year, a broad base of stakeholders, including agricultural groups, but also point sources like wastewater treatment plants and industry, and also environmental groups. And everybody really got together in the state of Illinois and with a science assessment backing it up to really see how we address this issue of nitrogen and phosphorus, mainly nutrients, in the water. It's driven by what makes it to the Gulf of Mexico. So you have federal agencies like USDA and US EPA interested in all of the states up the Mississippi River Basin really working on these strategies. So it's not just an Illinois thing. It's a thing across all of these Mississippi River Basin states. And so it really looks at the sources of those nutrients, why they're lost, and some best management practices from ag to be able to reduce those losses.
And this is all in an effort to help kind of control the hypoxia region that is growing in the Gulf. Do you just want to cover what the hypoxia region is?
Absolutely. It is an area in the Gulf of Mexico that actually hypoxia just means low oxygen. And so it's caused by a variety of factors. Some of those are the nutrients that is used in agriculture. But it also has to do with temperature gradient and a whole bunch of other factors in the environment. But basically, if there's not enough oxygen in the water, then fish are dying and all types of other environmental issues. And so it's been tracked since like the mid-80s on how big is it and is it changing? Is it growing? And we should be getting a report on it pretty soon on what it looks like this year. But last year it was smaller than normal, but it was still above the 5-year average. And so the point being that, you know, it's not going away, and that the regulatory agencies on the federal side do want to see some changes from everybody upstream. So.
And thus far, this is a voluntary plan. These are not going to be, you know, strictly enforced rules from the government, but hopefully farmers take this seriously. Otherwise, it could turn into some form of legal action from the government.
Yeah, you know, there are lawsuits going on right now, environmental interests asking US EPA to set what are called numeric nutrient standards. That has US EPA has said up to this point in those lawsuits that, you know, that we really think that it's up to the states to do that work. And that's really what's going on now. But yeah, you're right. This is a voluntary thing for agriculture, but it really is our opportunity in Illinois agriculture to really show folks who are watching and waiting, show them that voluntary conservation does work and it can make the difference, and regulation is not necessary.
And can you go over what the main targets of this strategy are?
Yeah, the strategy itself calls for an ultimate 45% reduction of phosphorus and nitrogen loading into state waterways that make it to the Gulf. But there also are some targets that are more, you know, in the interim, 2025. So seeing, I believe it's a 15% reduction in nitrogen by 2025 and 25% reduction in phosphorus in the waters. So it is a focus on what leaves our state, what makes it to the Gulf. But then in the stakeholder discussions, folks were also concerned about, well, you know, local water quality. So things that don't leave, maybe, you know, those lakes that serve as reservoir drinking water supplies for the state, you know, they can have high nitrogen or phosphorus levels as well. And so even though they don't leave and make it to the Gulf, you know, we still want to improve those situations as well.
And what are some of the best management practice suggestions that are going into the plan to kind of help farmers out, give them a guideline of maybe what they could start looking into?
Yeah, so to make it on, there is a lot of things that farmers do, but to make it onto this official list, the science team was really looking at practices that have been peer reviewed, scientific literature is backing them up. And so you have things that are in field, edge of field, and land use changes. So in field would be you start to split your application of nitrogen fertilizer, or you use cover crops, or you strip till or no till, you know, when it comes to phosphorus. Your edge of field would be things like bioreactors and wetlands. So a little bit more progressive, a little bit more you know, labor and cost intensive to put in, and it's a long-term situation. And then you have the most drastic, really, that research, you know, is backing up if you switch out of corn and soybean production and you move into something. So really it's just showing you the whole spectrum of what can be done and how that correlates to nutrient losses. And I like to say, too, that, you know, so you have practices for nitrogen and phosphorus, but you also have livestock. And so livestock operations, there are BMPs in there for how to manage manure application on the land and also how to manage and prevent runoff from leaving the production areas.
This is going to be an expensive endeavor, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, the science team did look at the economics behind all of these practices, and they do associate a cost based on a lot of assumptions on, you know, broad scale, looking at it, how much it would cost. And really, they ultimately came to the conclusion that it's an annual problem that would cost about, on an annual basis, $800 million in the state of Illinois to fix. And I'm saying fix, but I don't know that we all know for a fact that if you spend $800 million, it would be gone tomorrow. That number is not just the ag number, that's the point source number as well. So the whole picture would take that amount of resources.
Now, is there any funding that farmers can turn to help them out with this?
Well, we're in the state of Illinois, it's a little bit different. If you've been reading or hearing about what happens in Iowa, their state legislature has set aside all this money for cost share on things like cover crops. Well, that's not happening as far as we can tell here in the state of Illinois. And so when Illinois EPA and the Department of Ag are talking about this initiative, they're really saying, you know, this is a building off of existing programs. And so they turn to programs on the state level, which include Section 319 grants through Illinois EPA that are the non-point source programs, cost share through the Soil and Water Conservation Districts and CREP at DNR. And they also point people to NRCS programs, so the EQIP and the CSP and all the easement. And so really it is that building off of the existing programs. And I think this whole strategy discussion will bring about many more opportunities, whether it's on, you know, there are several ag initiatives as well, but there will be a whole host of new opportunities, especially under the new Farm Bill conservation programs as well.
And hopefully this will draw more attention to those already existing programs, get people a bit more interested in them.
Absolutely. You know, the things I just mentioned are things that were included in the draft, but I foresee a lot of people, this will roll out for public comment, and I think you'll hear from a lot of environmental groups or just non-governmental organizations who have stuff going on the ground now, and maybe they aren't in this early draft, but they will let Illinois EPA know that, hey, you know, we've been doing work in these watersheds for 20, 30 years, and we've seen this, this, and this. And I really think it's important to, you know, really embrace everything and take credit for all of the work being done, no matter who's really in charge of the program. So.
And it's also very important for people to keep in mind that this will keep national level regulations away as long as we can provide evidence that it's working.
Yeah, I mean, that really is my understanding. I mean, I guess it's not a clear correlation, but I would guess that our case is much better at the end of the day if we can show that farmers are changing or have changed their practices and things are starting to make a difference. Obviously, you know, you can have some legacy issues with phosphorus and you may not see water quality changing immediately for nitrogen. But, you know, if we can say this many farmers have participated in these programs and we can assign an associated reduction with it, we will be able to prove a very good case, I think.
Now, this is somewhat scary news, so do you have any words for farmers as they try to head this off in the future?
You know, I really think that there is not one silver bullet, not one answer for every single farm in the state of Illinois, and that's what I try to do in my discussions with regulators and environmental groups is to say, you know, it's not that easy to say this will solve the problem. And so I really urge farmers in the state of Illinois to take a look at their operation and say, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, but kind of take a fresh look at what they do from this perspective and say, you know, what little tweaks can I make? Am I interested in making big changes? And really just take a look at their operation through a new lens and see if there's something more they can do on this voluntary basis.
Again, that was Laura Lurkins, Director of Natural and Environmental Resources. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.